Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Monday, gang, and welcome, of course, to the first Andy Goldstein TalkSport Euro Daily podcast of the week with me, your host, with the most, Andy Goldstein. The most of what I hear you, I don't know. I'm making it up as I go along. Anyway, there's only one place to start, and that, of course, is with England. Hurrah! And there's just over 48 hours until their Euro 2020 semi-final clash against Denmark, which, of course, is live on TalkSport. Shortly, we'll hear from Tony Cascarino and a host of former England internationals. But first, here's England legend Stuart Pearce, who played, of course, in two semi-finals of major tournaments. And he believes this England side have what it takes to go one better than they did in 2018.
And the full-time whistle blows. No need for stoppage time. No need for an inquest tonight. A famous night. A perfect night. One of those that you will just never forget.
They've galvanised so much experience and confidence over not just this tournament and the run they've been on, but bear in mind that the last World Cup they went to the semi-final as well, and that experience will stand them in great stead as well going forward. And I think they'll approach it like I've seen them, with no fear. They'll play their own game. They're nice and confident in everything they've tried to do. And it's one of those, if we're good enough to win the game on the day, which I think we will be, we'll progress and another challenge.
I really believe that England are a far better team than they were in 2018, and they made the semi-finals. I think this group has developed via Gareth. Harry's improved the squad, the dynamics, the relationships between everybody. I think they're a better team now.
He's got a group of players that are there in the tournament, and last night he was talking about the players that weren't on that pitch. And for me personally, I think we're speaking collectively. He's made that togetherness as a group and a nation. And I think people from the outset are feeling it.
Pickford having to get down at his near post, able to make a save from Yaremchuk.
There'll be no different in the game against Denmark. Doesn't matter what the scoreline will be. Denmark will get an opportunity, whether it's because of a bad pass from an England player or whether it's because of great play from Denmark. They're capable of doing that. And Jordan Pickford will be asked upon. And I think this is the beauty of what we've seen in these five games. When he's been asked upon, he's delivered.
They got more strength in depth. They've got more togetherness, I think. And they were pretty together in 18. They've got more togetherness, more tournament experience now, having suffered a semi-final defeat in 18. And certainly the management staff have as well. You know, Gareth had never been as a manager to that standard. He has now already. You know, he wants to go beyond the semi-final, but he knows what it's like to go into a semi-final. And definitely there's more talent in this group, more know-how, more composure, I would say, as well. And that's been reflected on how we've dominated games and the opposition have failed to get efforts at our goal.
Now, after his two goals on Saturday night, Harold Kane has been the talk of the town on the weekend Sports Breakfast show. The former Ireland striker, Tony Cascarino, has compared him to two other English legends in Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer. I don't know why I've gone like this.
We're appealing for offside. The Germans, and they're in trouble. Alcantara couldn't do it. Lineker probably could. And England have equalised. It's Gary Lineker.
Look, I was lucky enough to see Gary at his pomp. Gary was unbelievably quick. I mean, like lightning. The quickest player I'd seen in football. I remember watching him at the 88 Euros and thinking, wow, Lineker, you ain't getting him if he gets half a yard on you. And he was a fantastic predator. I think Gary will get caught by Harry. I think, look, first thing is it will get Michael Owen at 40. He's only three goals short of Michael Owen. Then he's got other challenges in front of him. Jimmy Greaves in the mid-40s. And then, obviously, getting to Rooney. Now, he's going to be very close because he's 27. He's 28 in July.
Raheem Sterling, out towards the left-hand side, chipped in by Shaw. There is goal number three. Harry Kane again.
What I would say is that they have very different qualities, Lineker and Kane. Kane, for me, would be more of a team player in setting the, you know, the play up more, looking to drop into areas. Gary would never have dropped into areas. Gary wanted to get on the shoulders of defenders. Why? Because he was brilliant at it, and also he got a lot of goals doing that. And he got across people. I would say Harry's more of a team player. If you want to make more of a comparison, I think Harry Kane is similar to Shearer. You know, Shearer didn't rely on pace. Fantastic in the air, probably slightly better than Harry in the air, although Harry's very, very capable, as we're seeing. But they'll shoot from distance. I mean, that effort last night, that would have been his hat trick, that's Alan Shearer. That is where I think there's a very close... If you're being compared to Alan Shearer, you're one hell of a player.
Sterling trying to ride the challenge, slips it in, it's Harry Kane. It is the perfect start for England.
If Harry Kane doesn't do well, we won't win the tournament. And I stick by that now. With two games hopefully to go, Harry Kane's going to have to deliver and probably deliver the knockout blow to the opposition. And that's how important he is to this group. But I still think with two games to go, if we're going to win the tournament, Harry Kane's got to be integral to what we do.
Now, what sort of threat will England's opponents Denmark have on Wednesday night? They, of course, beat England in the Nations League at Wembley last time out. Here's the former Denmark goalkeeper, Ryan Jensen, discussing their chances ahead of the game.
The full-time whistle goes, and Denmark have done it. The team which had to deal with such trauma at the start of the European Championships have made their way through to the semi-finals, and they will play at Wembley on Wednesday.
Kasper, Simon Kjær, and then Christian Eriksen, they were obviously the so-called older players that ran the show and actually ran the changing room at the same time. So they got a lot of stuff to say, and you know, they got a little bit pulling that team, but they're all great lads, and it just shows all the other lads join in, and all the other lads just goes into that philosophy and just help them out. It's a good combination they got there.
Eriksen is still today called the heart and the rhythm of the team by the coach. So of course he would like to have him in the squad, but what it has done is that it made all the other players realize after what they went through that maybe winning every time they play is not the most important thing in the world, and maybe feeling that you already won, even if you haven't played yet, is a feeling that is really, really valuable in football. It's given them a lot of freedom, removed a lot of pressure, and I think that has benefited the group a lot. I think that's what we see when they flourish. It's more the freedom of knowing that no one will call them anything bad if they don't win, because they've already achieved something that no one thought was possible when they came back to play after what happened.
It's not really a surprise for me, but I was a little bit worried after the first game that if we actually would qualify or not, or go through the group stages. But as you can see with the lads, they're bonding really well, and they're doing okay.
I think this is going to be a really, really tight game. I think we've got a team here with a cause, and the Danes have got a cause to fight for beyond just the Euros with the Christian Eriksen situation. Their togetherness when that situation happened on the pitch was there for all to see. It was fantastic. And I think that makes them an even stronger outfit than the actual footballing ability they have.
You know, anything can happen on the day. And like you said, with the lads, that determination, if they go in with the same frame of mind like against the Czech Republic, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Now, should England beat Denmark, what we're talking about, should when England beat Denmark on Wednesday, obviously live on TalkSport, they will face either Italy or Spain in Sunday's final. Shortly, we'll get the Italian perspective, but first is the former Spain midfielder, Cesc Fabregas. Wow. We join the guys on Darren Bent's Boot Room on TalkSport.
The captain of Real Sociedad, up against Sommer, left-footed penalty, and he's put it in the corner, and Spain go through. They succeed at last from 12 yards, where they've failed so often recently, and the Spanish march on at Euro 2020.
I was always positive, to be fair, because if you really look at every squad there is not, I don't think it's like before. Before you used to see like these top squads with big names here. This year, I think it's more like good teams without being top individual players, let's say. Maybe the one that we could all agree that was the best in terms of team and individual players was France, and they got knocked out. I'm liking it. Spain are progressing. You know, you could see that we are playing well, but we are not scoring many goals. We were not being like decisive in key moments. We were conceding a little bit too much against lower teams. But, you know, this is tournaments that if you are not ready, you can pay for it. And hopefully, you know, we learned from some mistakes. And I think now we are one of the favourites.
What have you made of, I mean, you spoke about Spain and their squad, but someone who's really impressed is Pedri. I mean, what have you made of his performances?
Yeah, I mean, he started a bit slow, but again, like the team, he's growing into the tournament. He played a fantastic season for Barcelona. He's only 18. I mean, we cannot forget that, you know, he's a special talent. I think he'll be a superstar in the near future. But, you know, what I like is the confidence that he's got. He is always asking for the ball. Okay, sometimes can be better. Sometimes can, you know, he can do other or make other decisions. But I believe that, you know, he's showing always for the ball. He wants the ball. He, in difficult moments, he's there to be available. And, you know, this is what I like, his personality.
Donnarumma will launch this clearance high into the air, and the final whistle goes, and Italy are through to the semi-finals of Euro 2020.
I think Italy, perhaps unlike England, are taking things one step at a time. They've got a semi-final against Spain to worry about, so the final is still a distant thought.
I think Italy are a level above a lot of what we've seen of international teams. They have that club mentality. They're one of the few teams who've really worked out how to press at international level when you don't have a huge amount of time. I think you saw against Belgium that they have all the attacking ability, but also the second half of that game against Belgium, they defended in a way that Italian teams always have, and that makes them dangerous. So four teams left. I'd say England are joint favourites with Italy, maybe slightly less favoured than Italy, but of course they do have the advantage of playing at home. And Italy will be without Spinazzola, who's been so important for them.
Spinazzola had the pace to get beyond Hazard. Oh, he's pulled up here, Spinazzola. He's hurt. Has he pulled a muscle? He's limping, and he waves to the bench straight away that he's got to come off.
I think that whoever comes into that spot probably is not going to be able to fill the role in the same way that Spinazzola did. Spinazzola's pace, his acceleration, he was recorded as the fastest player in sort of top speed terms, the fastest player at this entire tournament. So you're not going to replace that in a simple way. There has been some talk that actually Mancini might not go with Emerson at left back. What he might do is swap Di Lorenzo, who's been playing at right back, to the left, or even bring in someone like Toloi and have them play at left back. Toloi can also play at right back, but do that, and then that would allow them to get Florenzi on the pitch. And Florenzi is, I think, certainly, again, not someone who has played at the same level as Spinazzola this season, but who has been playing for Paris Saint-Germain and who is certainly an attack-minded fullback, because really fundamental to how Italy have played through this tournament has been this idea that you have a back four, but one of those fullbacks is coming all the way up to join the attack. So this 4-3-3 becomes a 3-3-4 when you're attacking. And I think that's going to be the real conundrum for Mancini now, is which fullback does he ask to do that role?
Now, away from the Euros, and Crystal Palace have appointed the former Arsenal midfielder Patrick Vieira as their new manager. No, me neither. The Frenchman has signed a 3-year deal at the club, meaning, of course, he'll be there 2 years and 6 months. Here's the take of the former Palace midfielder Darren Ambrose, Cesc Fabregas again. Why? Blimey, we've got our money's worth out of him. And French football expert Philippe Auclair.
Breaking news, Crystal Palace have confirmed their new manager. Well, we thought they had Nuno Espirito Santo. We thought then it was Lucien Favre, but it's Vieira who's signed a 3-year deal.
First thoughts is he's got the job because he's Patrick Vieira and his name is Patrick Vieira.
What he will do, he'll come in and he'll immediately have respect off the players for what he's done in his career. World Cup winner, European Championship winner, Premier Leagues. What he's done in the Premier League as a player. But it's not as easy as that.
Anyone who follows Crystal Palace will also know of Ted Lasso. And if you think about what the success that Ted Lasso brought that side, I don't know, without, spoiler alert, without the end of the season, Patrick Vieira's experience in America sits perfectly with a Ted Lasso model.
You're not having this appointment then?
No, I am, yeah. They need that Americanism in Crystal Palace to get the fans behind them.
I think he's a very pragmatic man. He's somebody who is tactically very aware, somebody who is spends a great deal of time in preparation, definitely part of the new school of management. But the type of football he makes his team play is quite pragmatic, with an accent first on defensive solidity. And I would say the jury is out. But in France, people were quite critical of him towards the end of his reign, thinking he was far too negative in his approach to the game. So I don't think you can necessarily predict what he's going to be like at Crystal Palace by judging what he did with Nice, when, again, he was put in a very delicate situation. Not difficult, but delicate situation to start with.
He persuaded Mario Balotelli to come to Nice, didn't he? Is he going to be able to persuade some big-name, big-star power players?
Well, I mean,
do you want to see Mario Balotelli at Crystal Palace?
Not to become the assistant boss, but I'm thinking yes, maybe to try and start up front for Crystal Palace next
season.
There's
a dream team. Vieira, Keane and Balotelli. Yeah, like there's your coaching.
Who do you go to whinge?
He would definitely change the way they play, or they've been playing for the last few seasons. Under Roy, I think it was a very direct team. They used to defend with a low block. But I think with Patrick, and having been here for 2 years and played against him a few times, it's a little bit completely the opposite. Patrick likes to play football from the back. He likes to take a lot of risks. He has got his ideas, and hopefully he can bring a new style, why not, to Crystal Palace.
One thing in which, you know, certainly he will bring certainly his reputation as a player, as a football man, simply, to the club. And of course, he will have clout. One thing that he has is that he's got a great network of contacts throughout world football. And he's not somebody whom they turn to because everybody else had turned the job down. I think that's a very important thing to know.
And we end the podcast with one more clip from Cesc. If you pay the big bucks, you've got to use the big names. Anyway, here he is backing his former teammate Mikel Arteta to be a success at Arsenal.
He's a guy that he loves football. He knows what he's doing. He's got a clear idea of where he wants to go. Even now, you know, if you speak to some of the players, they will tell you that they really enjoy playing under him, that the trainings are well, that they feel prepared, they know what they're doing. Still, he's a young manager. He was very lucky, and I think he did very well in terms of being next to Pep for I don't know how many years exactly, but it was like a super preparation, you know, for a young coach. I mean, if I could have the chance to do something like that, I think I could grab it without any question, you know, because it's like doing a master when you are only finishing high school, you know. And it's actually interesting. It's a difficult job, because it really is, you know, where he caught the club and where the club should be, or where the aim is that Arsenal should be. But yeah, I think, you know, Edu and the board, they believe a lot in him, and hopefully he can be the man, you know, to bring this team up forward.
Well, that's it, gang. Thanks for listening on the TalkSport app, wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to headbutt that subscribe button. Do it without hurting yourself. If you do it and injure yourself, then it really is nothing to do with us. Don't headbutt it at all. Just press it lightly. Dab it. Just dab the subscribe button. I'm back tonight from 10 o'clock on my show, Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. alongside old Moonface himself, the fun boy, Jason Cundy. There will, of course, be another one of these Andy Goldstein Talks, put your daily podcast out first thing in the morning, so do what you've got to do to get it. Until then, thanks for listening. No, genuinely, thanks for listening. I know I say it quite often, I'm just blasé. Thanks for listening, but I mean it. Thank you for listening from the bottom of my heart. Have a great day, and above all, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.